all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Pat, you are muted in.
Well, fat lot of good it does me to not look at the board and say, hey, Pat, you're muted. Turn your microphone on. Because I didn't want people watching The Secret Show on Facebook to hear me coughing, sniffling, whatever the case may be. So, Aaron, is the music still handy there? Can you pot it up for a second?
Sure.
We're all just going to pretend for a second here. Here we go.
Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News, everybody, for this Friday, February 17th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Zommers is in Madison and feeling much better about things now, Aaron, aren't you?
Yes, definitely.
See, again, I've got a big enough computer monitor. I should be able to see all of the windows, but my show notes were covering up what I'm sure was Aaron waving his arms and saying, dummy, turn on your microphone. Coming up this hour, a plea to newsrooms to get there faster. As I said last hour, if a powerful elected official announced he was a white supremacist and was going to bully educators into a sharp reduction of teaching about Black history and racism, you'd expect the media to treat him as a racist, right? But as long as he doesn't call himself a racist, some newsrooms are instead referring to him as an underdog who's building his brand. And we'll talk more about the governor of Florida and the frustratingly slow pace of national journalists to recognize actual threats to democracy and American values with Mark Jacob, a former editor at the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, coming up later this hour. Dan Schumacher will help us get through some of the weekend sports. I'm going to give you an update after this next commercial break, too, in that the Bucks won a game last night, but there also was a scare for the team that may carry over into the All-Star game and beyond. We hope not, but we'll have details coming up. We will also have a weatherology update from meteorologist Jennifer Fajitsky, who will tell us about a quiet, nice weekend, but unfortunately it's not going to stay that way into the next week, because in our theater of seasons, if you don't like the weather, you know, wait 5 minutes, or in this case, just a few more days. Well, you can reach us here anytime. You can even make comments up on our Facebook page to tell us, you know, that my microphone is off or what have you. But you can call us at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. You can email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com. In fact, we might actually need people going on the Facebook feed of this show just to, you know, say, hey, you know, Pat, you've got a colic sticking up in your hair, or, you know, Aaron's got some broccoli in between his teeth. What you do is, if you're watching us on one of three different Facebook feeds where we stream the show, and if you leave a comment somewhere in one of those posts, we see it over here and have the ability to put the comment up on screen. And so we're happy to do that. I think I still have an example here for those folks watching. Yeah, here's a comment from Aaron Zommers about having a handsome producer, which, I mean, that's the rumor anyway. And those Facebook pages, by the way, in case you're away from your local Civic Media radio station, are the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, and the Bull Falls Radio page for our station in Wausau. So nice to have you all along here during the course of the day. I wanted to take just a second to, I guess, both tip my cap to Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, but also to call out folks who have been, I guess, shame, again, in this day and age, I want to say shameful, but apparently shame doesn't exist anymore, so it's shameless, that the Pennsylvania senator, coming off of a bruising campaign during which he suffered a stroke, announced yesterday that he has checked himself into a hospital for clinical depression. The statement said that Fetterman has experienced depression on and off throughout his life. It has become more severe in recent weeks. This is an extraordinary statement in a nation's capital where few people talk about their own mental health. And the stories are being repeated about times when, say, Congressman Patrick Kennedy of Rhode Island would sneak around to get his treatments for substance abuse over the holidays or in between congressional work periods. He refused the mental health treatment recommended by his doctors because he didn't want to be recognized in that wing of the hospital. He finally was forced to reveal his struggles when he crashed his car outside the Capitol after taking a combination of prescription drugs in May of 2006. So he and many others are saying, look, we are well past the time when we should talk more openly about the mental health struggles that we go through. Governor Tony Evers did the same thing in the budget address this week and saying we have to be more vocal about the challenges that some people are facing, especially our children. The way Republicans in the legislature responded to that was essentially with derision and to say it's not going to happen, the additional help for mental health resources that Governor Evers is asking for. And the social media treatment of Senator Fetterman has been, again, just completely shameless in piling on somebody who is trying to be upfront about their difficulties so that they can continue to be effective in office by getting the treatment that they need. So if we could all just kind of keep that golden rule in mind, try to be each other's, you know, best cheerleader whenever we're able to, maybe that'll help make our politics just a little less toxic. Let's take a break, talk more about what's in the news these days on a Friday for Up North News Radio. We'll be right back. Coming up Monday, it will be Movement Monday with Carlene Becken from the Fair Maps Wisconsin Coalition as we talk more about slain gerrymandering in Wisconsin. I did ask for your comments, and I really want to get Mark's up here because not only just the thanks for, you know, putting up the show on Facebook, but that occasional shout out that we'll do to Dangerous Don Rue, who really needs to spend more time on the radio, and I'm going to try to fix that at some point here. All right, quick look in sports just to tell you that the Bucks beat the Bulls 112-100 on Thursday night. That's 12 straight wins, and Giannis Antetokounmpo became Milwaukee's career assists leader, but he also got injured, spraining his wrist, and so his appearance in the All-Star game is in jeopardy. So we'll monitor that. The Bucks are now on their All-Star game break, and they will be back in action next Friday at home against Miami. All right, it's time now to turn to our weatherology meteorologist, and that's when Jennifer Wachitsky is going to join us and talk about weekend weather around Wisconsin and maybe something that's on the far horizon. But let's enjoy the weekend first. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks. How about you?
Doing good now. Doing good now. It helps when you turn your microphone on to start the show. But, you know, if you get the big mistakes out of the way early, you know, the rest of the day is a cakewalk, right? Nothing else could possibly go wrong. Thank goodness this desk is made of wood. I can knock on it. So tell us about the weekend weather around Wisconsin, even though it sounds like it's going to be kind of quiet and nice.
It really is. Yeah, I think we deserve that too, especially after the last few weeks that we've had. Today we're looking at a high pressure system in control of much of the state, actually. So we're looking at, if not sunny skies already, becoming mostly sunny all throughout the state with that system in control. And then a pretty decent weekend coming in ahead. Temperatures for today either at or just around or just slightly below average, again, through much of the state. But by tomorrow, we're looking at a warm front coming in. That system right now in central Canada right now, and with the bringing in a very strong warm front, a lot of these southerly winds coming in for the weekend ahead, and some warmer temperatures as well, lingering right around about the upper 30s to the low 40s here through much of the state, from Wausau down to Madison, Richland Center, Milwaukee, and even into Amory and Baldwin, looking at above average temperatures here for the weekend, and some sunshine expected here for much of the southern portions of the state, and then a little bit more cloud cover coming in for around the central and west western portions of the state. So not as sunny as we'd like it to be, but it's going to be pretty mild for this time of the year. And then there might be some areas of slight chances for snow once we get to Sunday afternoon into the evening hours, again, for those western portions of the listening area, Amory and Baldwin, and then a better chance for some snow showers coming in once we start the work week next week, but that's going to be into Monday. And so we'll keep an eye on that system to see how much snow we might be getting from that.
I am so glad to hear you say that we're going to keep an eye on it. You're not at this point already. Like I know of some people who'd already be saying doom and gloom. We're looking at maybe a foot of snow, you know, by the end of next week. And we don't know that yet. So you're letting us know to keep an eye on something. And I appreciate that very, very much.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
Jennifer Vachitsky, meteorologist with Weatherology. So nice to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. You too. Enjoy it.
All righty. We're going to check in with Jennifer this time every day and get an update on weather all around the state. Before we checked in with Jen, we were talking about Giannis hurting his wrist in that game against the Bulls last night. I was just looking for details on it. The two-time MVP was hurt trying to block a finger roll attempt by Chicago's Kobe White. After White drove past him, he jammed his wrist when he reached out, perhaps to soften the blow as he crashed into the padded stanchion, continued to flex his hand, and then got subbed out a few seconds later and headed to the locker room. X-rays proved to be negative, but again, they'll see if that sprain is going to keep him out of the All-Star game in Salt Lake. Badger men's basketball team is home tomorrow against Rutgers. The Marquette men's basketball team plays not till next Tuesday at Creighton, and Brewer spring training is underway. That first spring training game is just 8 days away. Quick reminder that you can not only watch what we do on Facebook, but you can listen back to the shows at any point by going over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And in doing so, you will go to the shows. You can see everything that every episode that is put out. Each hour is turned into a podcast episode. And then you can subscribe to that podcast and never miss a show. And for what we do at Up North News, just look for upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on social media. I mentioned that Carlene Becken from the Fair Maps Wisconsin Coalition is going to join us on Mondays, a little thing that we're going to call Movement Mondays, where every other week on Mondays, we're going to talk about the movement to clean up politics in Wisconsin in some way, shape, or form. Last time around, we talked about trying to slay corporate personhood. And on Monday, we're going to talk about gerrymandering and the impact of next week's Supreme Court primary and April's Supreme Court general election on the fight against gerrymandering and finally getting some maps that better represent Wisconsin voters. And so we're looking forward to talking to Carlene about that. But that state Supreme Court race is, I mean, you've seen some ads, and maybe some of you, you know, get the text messages from candidates or what have you. But once we know who those final two candidates are, assuming it's one conservative and one progressive, it's going to get really noisy, really fast, with all kinds of spending and not necessarily by the candidates. And that's where we're going to bring up a name that was so instrumental in the last election in November. The whole reason, in my view, that Ron Johnson is still in office, the reason that Ron Johnson is still spreading lies about the COVID vaccine and casting doubt on democracy and using Hunter Biden as a distraction for his own failure to come up with any kind of economic plan for the middle class, the reason he's there is a billionaire by the name of Dick Eline. Now, there were others, his wife Liz, there was Diane Hendricks from ABC Building Supply and Beloit. You know, they've all contributed tens of millions of dollars to a super PAC that ran grotesquely racist ads against against Mandela Barnes. And it was enough to give Ron Johnson to squeak out a victory, the closest Senate race in 100 years in Wisconsin. And those tons of ads that Dick Eline and others helped pay for probably made the difference. Well, Eline's going to do that again, or at least attempt to do it again, probably on behalf of Dan Kelly, the conservative former state Supreme Court justice, in this state Supreme Court race, especially if Dan Kelly comes through the primary and goes into the general. whether it's against one of the progressives, Milwaukee Judge Janet Protasiewicz, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, or even if the two conservative candidates are the highest vote getters and they both advance into April, Kelly and Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro. Either way, expect that Dick Eline is going to put donations into political action, into a political action committee that is going to, in the words of the Isthmus, outweigh all donations from Wisconsin residents to all four Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates combined. That's very important to note. I love the way that that is written. The donations made by Wisconsin residents, not Dick Eline, a billionaire who's a resident of the Chicago area, but all the contributions by all Wisconsinites to all four of the current candidates combined were outdone with a single donation by Dick Eline to a political action committee called Fair Courts America. He is the committee's only donor, according to an article earlier this week from the Isthmus. And it's more than everything that the four candidates have raised from Wisconsin and the rest of the country combined since the first of the year, according to filings with the Wisconsin Ethics Commission. Eline's influence could have a big impact on this race and swing the balance of the court, which, as we've discussed, could affect issues from abortion rights to redistricting maps. Eline has said that he is backing Kelly, who was put on the court by former Governor Scott Walker to fill a vacancy. And then Kelly ran for a term in his own right for a full 10-year term in 2020, but was beaten by progressive Jill Karofsky. The money that's coming in from Eline and his wife is not just being felt in Wisconsin, but all across the country. Everybody talks about the Koch brothers because they really, you know, put themselves out there publicly. And by the way, the same Koch brothers who a few days back through their Americans for Prosperity group said that they were going to be backing somebody other than Trump in 2024. But it's been pointed out since that this is not the first time that Americans for Prosperity has said they're going to do something that somehow hints that they're moderating their stance, and then they go back on it. So don't listen to what people say. Watch what they actually do. And what Dick Eline and his wife Liz have done has been to contribute hundreds of millions of dollars to conservative candidates and causes over the past decade since the Citizens United decision, the one where the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court opened the floodgates to unlimited money by political action committees, mostly corporate money and money from billionaires pouring into these things. And that's why we talked about corporate personhood just about 2 weeks ago, that this whole notion that corporations have the same free speech rights as people is perverse, was never, you know, the intention of the founding fathers, is hostile toward democracy, and drowns out the speech of the actual human beings who can vote. But at this point, you know, Dick and Liz Eline, they have the money to do it, and now they have the rules on their side. They are the folks who founded Uline, the massive shipping materials company with revenue in the billions of dollars. They started that company back in 1980. And Dick Eline is also an heir to the Schlitz Brewing fortune. Sometimes, you know, he and his wife disagree on which conservative candidates they're going to support. But nonetheless, that just means the, you know, the money goes to even more conservative candidates. And yes, they're going to be, there are big dollars and big names coming in this race on both sides. But let's not both sides the story. Because again, what progressive groups can put in will almost certainly be dwarfed by what right-wing groups can put in. And that's not how our politics should work at all, over who's got the bigger checkbook, who can buy the most ads to sway people who may not necessarily be paying attention to these races. And their whole notion of who to vote for is based on seeing that scary commercial that implied that Mandela Barnes was one of the Kenosha rioters and that he was going to open up the prison doors and let people out by getting rid of all bail restrictions, none of which was true. But how do you say it's not true when you don't have nearly the funds that somebody does to run those commercials that are limitless? That's what we're going to see in this race, especially if Dan Kelly comes through as one of the candidates and Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell come through on the other one. It's going to be, you know, hold on to your hats. We're going to have a lot of misinformation to knock down, and we will keep trying to do it. Mark Jacob is standing by, and we will talk more about how the national media has covered this week's news and politics on the other side of this pause. You're listening to Up North News Radio for a Friday.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Again, we're just going with an Eagles greatest hits theme because the album came out this day in, 1975, and was the greatest selling album for the longest time and still way up there on the charts. So Gary, thanks for the comment. We appreciate that very much. Again, if you want to reach the show, you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com and look for us on social media. Just look for Up North News WI. Let's bring in Mark Jacob here and say hello to the former editor at the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine.
Good, good.
Follow the news.
That's right.
News from the, thank goodness I don't have to stay up till 11 p.m. to be working on it, but I do follow the news pretty closely.
Yes. And your Twitter feed definitely shows that. It's at MarkJacob16, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And as I look at that and as I look at some of the other press coverage that's been going on over this week, what I've teased the show with, we're going to start with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, but it's going to get us into how media is covering him and the, you know, the right wing in general, the supposed liberal media. And, here's a guy that has been working so hard to bully school districts into not covering Black history. Libraries are banning books there about, Roberto Clemente and Hank right. Aaron and things like that. Now, if DeSantis came right out and said, I'm a racist and I want to suppress the teaching of Black history, then probably media would treat him as what he is. Right. But simply because he doesn't say it, but still does all those things, he is a, what is it? How they describe him? A maverick who's building his brand,
going up
against the establishment. He is the establishment. He's the governor. Why are they doing this? Why are they giving Ron DeSantis such easy treatment for things that are most certainly against American values and maybe democracy itself?
I guess it's because they think that they're going to be covering him for the next year plus as a candidate for president. And maybe they will. But the thing that gets me about the New York Times, especially with that big headline about Ron DeSantis building his brand, when really what he's doing is tormenting, trans people, tormenting teachers, tormenting Disney World, he's kind of turned Florida into his own little fascist state. And it's frightening because you export that to the rest of the country and we're all in danger.
Oh, and,
so New York Times kind of covers it with, Ron DeSantis is building his brand. Well, I don't really need a newspaper to be to focus on the marketing aspect of this. And they write about the rise of fascism from a marketing perspective. How well are you doing at persecuting people? Instead of, you're persecuting people. And it's like they're missing the point. It's like it's what Jay Rosen at NYU, he's a really good media critic. He calls it the savvy style. He talks about how these journalists are covering it that's a good political tactic, that's a bad political tactic. It's all like insider kind of tactics instead of how it affects real people. And it affects real people. I mean, he's really taking apart important educational facilities and institutions in Florida. He's decided that we don't want to teach Black history. Can you believe that? I mean, he's a very scary individual, and for the news media to be treating him as, well, he's just another candidate, and boy, is he really smart about how he's building his brand. That misses the point, and that's not public service. It's not.
I think that it was the Times, if not the Washington Post, but I think the Times that actually lumped DeSantis and others in and described them as family friendly, that they're practicing a kind of family friendly politics, to which I thought, well, whose definition of family?
Right, right. When they're like compelling teachers to cover up the fact that they have a gay spouse, you know, that's family friendly. You know, that doesn't sound very family friendly to me, but it is. Yeah, right. And so. But see, Pat, this is this desperation of major news media to appear objective. And you know, I mean, what would they have been doing in Germany in 1933? I mean, would they have been doing that? I mean, well, you know, looks like Hitler's building his brand. And, you know, boy, that family-friendly policy where they're firing all the professors in the colleges. I mean, what would they be doing? And sometimes journalists got to get beyond this kind of, you know, one side said this and the other side said this and our job's finished. That's not what journalism is. Journalism is supposed to be like telling the truth and giving people information that they can use in their lives and that warns them about scary things that are about to happen if they don't do something about it. And that's what this is.
It has not been a great week for the New York Times in terms of, you know, what people are saying and what they think of their coverage. There is, for example, a rather heavy internal debate right now at the Times about, you know, how they've been covering the transgender community. Have they been doing so fairly? Have they been giving, too much time to those who have a bias against the trans community? I think it was the executive editor basically, you know, circled the wagons and said, well, you know, nobody inside the Times should be criticizing us because that crosses the line into advocacy. And I have to say, Mark, you've worked in a large newspaper. I don't know that I buy that, but was that fair?
No, I mean, what the editor said, well, no, I mean, you know, it's funny. It's like trying to shut up journalists is always a losing battle. You know, I remember one time we had at the Chicago Tribune, we had an internal debate about how to lead a story. And, I lost the argument and we let it, the story, it was a story about police misconduct, and we let it very softly so to not sting the police. And that was a fight we had internally. And after the story ran, the reporter tweeted, the news is in the fourth paragraph, you know, and, you know, that was fine. I would, you know, I didn't like call him into my office and scream at him. I thought that was kind of part of a fairly healthy debate about how we do things. And, you know, trying to shut up journalists is often a losing battle. And I think that they ought to be listening to the journalists in their own newsroom about, you know, how they're handling the transgender issue. You know, the thing about that, Pat, is, you know, you don't have to like be like pro transgender. Oh, yeah. All you got to do is be pro tolerance. I mean, you know, I just feel like not worrying so much about what other people are doing with their gender identity or their sexuality, if they're adults and everything's consenting, is don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Worry about your own self. And this idea that, you know, that we need to like ban drag shows and stuff like that, that is crazy town. That is crazy town. That's like, you know, the let's go back and ban the movie Tootsie. You know, that offends, you know, the sensibilities of America. I mean, so when they go after like drag shows, they're really not going after drag shows. They're going after LGBTQ people. They're just, it's an attempt to, I mean, what we're seeing today is really a backlash against, you know, decades of increased tolerance and increased awareness of the faults of America and how America could be better. And the thing about when you criticize America, you're not criticizing our ideals. You're trying to affirm our ideals. You're trying to get us, you're trying to get America to live up to our ideals, which are great ideals. And that's what, you know, the thing about teaching Black history, you know, there's a lot of horrible Black histories. There's a lot of horrible persecution. I mean, in today's generation, I'm not sure they realize just how bad it was. I don't know if they realize that Black people in Chicago could not get bank loans, could not get home loans to buy homes from banks for decades. Just couldn't do it. And if you want to know why there's poverty in Chicago. One of the reasons is that a lot of wealth is built in intergenerational wealth, with people giving things to each other, including homes. If you couldn't buy a home in Chicago because of that, that's kind of maybe why people are poor in Chicago right now. And so people understanding that is really important. But if you're not going to teach, you know, Black history, which is a lot, largely the story of racism against Black people in America, you're not going to understand what's going on today.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's a good thing you're in Chicago, in the Chicago area, because I think if you were sitting in Florida right now saying that, you might be arrested, you know, for trying to actually teach the listeners a little bit about, you know, systemic racism.
One thing is interesting in Florida, and there was an article at the Nieman Journalism Lab and at Harvard yesterday about this, is that, you know, the Miami Herald and other legitimate news sources in Florida are trying to report on all the terrible things that DeSantis is doing. DeSantis has set up a fake news outlet called the Florida Standard that he leaks stuff to, and he tells them, you know, when to file Freedom of Information Act requests on stuff. He's coaching them, and in effect, it's a fake news outlet that he's set up. So you know, as far as, you know, news outlets, you know, overseeing government and making sure that it's doing the right thing, Ron DeSantis is trying to make up fake media to support it
and hurting people in the process. Do you mind if we take a quick call from a listener about that?
Not at all.
Let's go to Jake, who's calling from Eureka, California, who really gets at the point about how harmful, really harmful, one powerful politician can be. Jake, good morning.
Well, pretending to be a paragon of, you know, sexual virtues like Ron DeSantis apparently is doing is extremely disingenuous. I know Republican politicians love to pretend they're holier than thou, but we have photographic evidence, and I'm sure you've probably seen it, of Ron DeSantis, who claims anyone who is gay in the state of Florida is somehow a groomer. We've got photos of Ron DeSantis when he was a high school teacher in North Georgia, apparently grooming young underage teenage girls in his class by getting them drunk and partying with them and doing other things.
Wait. We don't really know. That hasn't been documented. That's a Donald Trump hit job. You know, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you for bringing it up.
You're right. I was about to as well. And Jake, we'll look into that, and I'll want to talk to you about that maybe in the future here. But just going on the here and now, when you are being that hurtful of describing people as groomers, when, again, no, what are we going to, are we going to start banning certain churches if we're going to talk about groomers? I mean, do we really want to have that discussion? The Ron DeSantis angle was one of many listed in the presswatchers.org column put out by Dan Frumkin. And the one this week talks about all the ways that people still like to talk about the liberal media as if that's a thing. But along with what we've been saying about coverage of Republicans, you've also got the way that they cover the debt ceiling as a crisis or as a standoff, rather than what it really is, a hostage situation entirely created by Republicans.
Right, exactly. And the thing about it is, I mean, if you want to do responsible budgeting, you do it when you're doing budgeting. You don't do it when you're paying the bills that you've already spent the money for. You know, it's. I mean, and for them to cast it that way is just totally just buying into the BS that Kevin McCarthy and that bunch are coming up with. And I mean, it's really pretty simple. Back when they did the budgeting, they decided how much money they were going to spend, and so now they've started spending it. And so Kevin McCarthy wants to stiff the people who are supposed to get the money. And instead default so that the credit of the United States government is much worse, and so nobody trusts that you know, financially the U.S. and so everyone loses, and so it is a hostage situation. You're going to see this. You're going to see the news media saying to the Democrats, "Well, why aren't you negotiating?" Well, did they ask it when, you know, when somebody got kidnapped and they like sent for ransom? Well, what, you know it. Or you don't negotiate with people who are not doing it the right way, who are just trying to create chaos and grandstand.
It's the ultimate in bad faith negotiating. In the And in the minute that we have left here, just very quickly on the coverage of the first the spy balloon and then every other object from there. And again, you know, Frumkin properly points out the breathless coverage as if it was some kind of, you know, an immediate danger to to Americans, and that Biden was ignoring it when he wasn't. My favorite though was NBC talking about, you know, the Biden administration lacking transparency on the issue. And I thought, how transparent are we supposed to be on our spying on each other?
I don't think
I'm necessarily looking for that. Mark Jacob, thank you so much. Mark Jacob 16 on Twitter is where you really want to follow him if you're there. And we appreciate these weekly visits. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
See you later.
All right. Mark Jacob, everyone, we will take this break. And then Dan Schumacher, be along. UW Eau Claire Athletic Director, is going to talk to us about the weekend in sports, especially the WIAC and things going on there. You're up north. Friday morning on Up North News Radio, and any Grateful Dead tune is liable to mean the arrival of Dan Schumacher, athletic director at UW Eau Claire, just to help me talk about the upcoming week in sports. How you doing, bud?
Good. It's a Sugar Magnolia Friday.
There you go. The Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference is getting into the nitty gritty of the winter sports season. We're getting close to what, conference tournaments and champions being determined?
Yeah, well, the men's hockey starts this weekend, but we were the number two seed. Eau Claire was, so we get a bye, and we don't play till next weekend and right into the quarterfinals. So, but last night, or Wednesday night, was the last night of WIAC basketball across the league, both men and women. And Monday and Tuesday is when they kick off the men's and women's conference tournament next week. So, a lot of tournament hockey and basketball all start basically next week, starting Monday. Swimming and dive is in the third day of the championships. Proud to say that Eau Claire is leading both the men and the women's side in swimming and dive. Mm-hmm. They're down in Brown Deer, Wisconsin, at the YMCA that has this massive aquatic center, which can handle this type of crowd and these amount of swimmers. Nice. Wrestling, you know, we took second in wrestling. Very competitive lacrosse, returning champion. They have regionals next weekend in wrestling. So all these winter sports, indoor track, it's all coming to culminate here over the next 2.5 weeks to where second week of March, we're either in the NCAAs or we're sitting at home and the season's over.
Yeah. Looking at the basketball standings for the women, Whitewater and Stout both finished at 10-4. In the conference, and for the men, Oshkosh on top at 13-1 in the conference, lacrosse at 10-4. And what's this on the schedule that I see? Eau Claire baseball in Memphis, Tennessee this afternoon. What?
Yeah, the boys loaded the bus. The boys of summer loaded the bus yesterday, and I saw them off. So season number three is about to begin today, and hopefully that weather that went through Chicago, southern Wisconsin, and hopefully it doesn't affect down in Nashville or in Tennessee any of those games, because that's a long bus ride from here to go play games over a weekend. So we're not Big Ten. We don't get on an airplane.
It is college baseball is hard because it's such a shorter season, mm-hmm. which means you have to start earlier, which means it's much more susceptible to weather. It is not that being on any athletic team is easy, but that one strikes me as especially tough because you really have to condense things to get the work done. But
those southern teams get to start practicing outside, getting real practices, fly balls, fungos, live pitching, full scrimmages. You know, our baseball team, our softball team practices in McPhee Gym. Northern baseball is a really hard. I don't see us even getting outside till mid-March. So we're practicing indoors in a small gym. It's not real work that, like, say, even an Illinois Wesleyan down in Bloomington, Illinois, has no snow on the ground. They have no frost in the ground. so they're able to get outside and get better work done and prepare for the season. As you said, it's condensed for northern teams.
I, as a Blue Gold, I was in that McPhee gym many a time, usually for the ballroom dancing class that I took for my Phi Ed credit. But you can't do pop-ups in there.
It was right before your wedding, right?
It was, as a matter of fact. We had the polka dancing down, but we had to learn some other moves as well. Yeah. Bucks beat the Bulls last night, 112-112 straight wins for the Bucks. And
how's Giannis? I didn't hear if he, because he went to the locker room, didn't he?
He went to the locker room with a sprained wrist when he was trying to block a shot by Chicago's Kobe White. Came down hard on his wrist. X-rays were negative, and so the coach Bud said, "We'll just watch this on a day-to-day basis." But he could not say with certainty that Giannis would go to Salt Lake now for the All-Star game, that, you know, he might have to sit it out and let it rest. Now, the Bucks don't play until Friday of next week again, but you know, the All-Star game is just in a couple of days here.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, I hope he's okay, because but he is the MVP right now, if you ask me.
Oh, without a doubt. And while he's captain of the team, it does get back to that whole notion of All-Star games. And whether, you know, again, the fans love it. There's the ratings and everything else, but it has no impact on the standings. And so that's going to be an easy decision to keep him out if he's not 100% when he wakes up this morning.
You know, I remember back when Michael Jordan was playing, I always look forward to the All-Star weekend because they always had the slam dunk contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just seems like it lost its luster over the years. I don't know if because the agents got involved and said it's too dangerous on your knees, getting hurt, that extra banging and clanging on your knees and ankles and feet. I don't know, but it just doesn't have the luster it did back when you had Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan and some of the other guys that could, you know, even when Clyde Drexler, people like that, you know, that made it really exciting.
Well, back when athletes wanted to always, you know, prove that they were the better athlete and not just hold out because of a big money contract. You might have missed this earlier today. Michael Jordan turns 60 today. And you know who else turned 60 today, who was born on the same day?
You?
Larry the Cable Guy. Just trying to imagine these two babies born on the same day, but there was not a chance in hell that one of them was going to be an NBA superstar. And
I think Larry Cable Guy, didn't he live in Wisconsin here for a long time?
Did he? I don't know.
He married a Wisconsin girl from either Long Lake, New Auburn, or something up here. I know they got recently divorced. See, not scary that I actually know this stuff.
Well, now, I mean, Aaron's going to be all over this now. Look at him.
Yeah, furious. I was looking up. Larry the Cable Guy definitely was in Wisconsin, married a Wisconsin girl. I think he was on Long Lake or one of maybe up in Washburn County or somewhere.
Okay, we're gonna track down the Wisconsin lineage of Larry the Cable Guy who turns 60 today. Badger men's basketball team plays Rutgers at home on Saturday. The Marquette men don't play until next Tuesday at Creighton, and we're getting to that time of year, Dan, where we actually pay attention to these rankings. You know, Marquette, when they do the rankings on Monday, will probably be in the top 10.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they played well. Shaka's got him going on. He's got that thing rolling. You know, I don't think Greg Gard's going anywhere, but I tell you what, he's got some crucial games ahead of him because he's certainly, from what I read, they're one of the first ones out on the bubble. So I think they need to pick up the pace here, finish strong in the conference tournament, maybe make a run. But I think the world of Coach Gard, I would hate to see any change in that program because I think he's a good man and a good leader. And he just had some, you know, losing to Northwestern twice is tough.
Oh, very, very much. Northwestern, though, I mean, knocking off
they
Purdue,
just beat number one. That's right.
I mean, that's a dream season for them. But and of course, they'll be making the tournament. And we will have so much more to say about March Madness as we get, you know, into March, but now we'll focus on what really counts, which for me is, you know, spring training baseball and the other stuff that you're doing too, Dan. So have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet, man. Take care.
That'll do it for me. You can follow me, Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. You can also sign up for the Up North News daily newsletter. Just go to upnorthnewswi.com and click on newsletter in the top banner. And coming up next, Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. Stephanie Miller's next in Madison. Todd Alba is coming your way in Wausau, Amory, Richland Center, all along the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.